The Havara that we mentioned yesterday, that for the Chovas Halvavos, it's not only Ahavas Hashem, but also Yiras Hashem, which precludes having mundane motivation, mundane incentive for mitzvahs. Where for the Rambam, it's only Ahavas. So we still need, as Hashem, we need to come back to that, but we're going to leave that as unfinished business and continue with the next paragraph. So again, in this edition, it's a new paragraph. The hasha'orim shepsochem haborei v'das torasa v'dasa hem shlosha. You see that, Rabosa? The hasha'orim, the gateways. Shepsochem haborei v'das torasa v'dasa hem shlosha. The three sources of knowledge in terms of Torah, in terms of religious obligation, in terms of religious truth. V'echad mehem haseichel hanitzo mikol pega. V'hasheni sefer toroso hanesuna l'moshe neviyo. V'hashlishi hakabalos shekivalnu mikadmoneinu shekiblu min hanaviyam aleyem ha-shalom ukvahikdom levarim harav agadu rabbeinu Sadia zal b'mesh yesh b'adam. So these three sources of knowledge, Rav Sadia Gaon already in Emunas V'deos, identifies and enumerates. This is something you have in the Gaonim and the Rishonim, that Seichel, what's known al pi Seichel, is a Mechayev b'fnei atzmo. It doesn't also have to be a Pasuk in Chumash. Obviously, a Pasuk in Chumash is a Mechayev. That's the second source of knowledge. It doesn't have to be a Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's the third source of knowledge. Sometimes they obviously overlap, and we know things from more than one source, but any one source is enough. Halacha Moshe Mesinai is only source number three. Something which is only known, Al Pi Seichel, is only source number one. But each of these stands alone and even independently, again, as a source of knowledge of, again, religious truth, religious obligation, the chulu. The simple pshat is that Chazal already say this as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Erev and Kuf Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmolei, Lo Nitna Torah, Hayinu Lemeidin Sneos Mechasul, Gezel Vegezel Minamola, Barayas Miyona V'derech Eretz Mitanago. So even if we didn't have Torah, again, sources number two and three, Torah in its broader sense, even if we didn't have sources to sort of paraphrase this in the categories that the Chovas HaLevavos is giving us, even if we didn't have sources number two and three, so we would have looked into the natural world, we would have seen how the chasul, when it's nitzach l'nakavav, acts with tznius, and we would have recognized and understood that that's a trait, a quality that we should practice, that we should cultivate. That's the pashtus that this Gemara reflects that. That, in addition to the famous Gemara in Yuma, Samozainim and Beis Tanim Abonis Mishpatay Tasu Devarim She'el Malay Nechtevu Din Hu She'yikra Sevu. So, chakika means engraving, right? Like chaktochos, chakirechos, it means to engrave. So it means that a chok is only a mitzvah by virtue of the fact that it's engraved in the Torah. We wouldn't have known it intuitively. So that's why it's referred to as a chok. And a mishpat is something which is justice. Now, justice means something that we should have and recognized, even if it hadn't been written in the Torah. And that's what these two terms, referring to mitzvahs, are, that mishpatim refers to dvam she'el malay nechtevu din hu she'yikra sevu. It's mishpat. As opposed to chukim, which we only know by virtue of the fact of the chakicha, because they're not intuitive. So Rav Nissim Gaon in the Gemara Brachos, so you have the Hakdama of Nissim Gaon to Shas. Rav Nissim Gaon there writes that anything which is misvara is binding al kol boy olam. Any mitzvah satara which is also svara is binding al kol boy olam. Why again? Because of this. Again, it's makori b'chazal, but what Rav Sadia says, what the Chavos HaLevavos says. It's clear in many places that the Rambam agrees with this scheme as well. But the Rambam also thinks that Svara itself is a Mechayev. The question that I think the question certainly was known to Rabbeinu Bachya, known to Rav Sadia Gaon, known to Chazal. It's probably been magnified many times over in very recently, in recent years. Svara is easily corrupted also. In the days of the Chovos HaLevavos, the overwhelming majority of the world were either crude polytheists, or if they weren't crude polytheists, they were adherents of false religions. I think the lunacy of our society, Kimaduma, is unprecedented in history. The craziness with it's beyond crazy. There are no words in the language to adequately describe the business with the pronouns and gender, and it's beyond lunacy is wholly inadequate. is wholly inadequate. So how do you understand that on the one hand? Now, the takeaway cannot be, you know, that this is a kasha or, you know, or worse, a pircha on you can't retreat from svara, because the emes is, even if you would, let's say, take away, let's say, edit, and obviously not really, but edit what the Chavos HaVavos says, and say, Hashom Shepsachem HaBorei, Vadas Tarasa Vadaso Hein Shnayim. And skip number one. You can't learn Torah without Svara also. Like, what does a Beferish HaPosek mean? If you're krum enough, so you can distort what a Beferish HaPosek means also. If you're krum enough, you can distort anything. Either krum or tendentious. You know, either the two. So then, lo ninalu, you know, the sha'arim of distortion and so it's not as if the fact that what people convince themselves is mustaber can be so crazy. The takeaway from that can't be to retreat from svara. You retreat from svara, you're not a person anymore. You can't do anything. You can't be the pasuk chumash either. There's no retreating from svara. And it's clear that the Chavos HaVavos is sensitive to it, right? Hasechel hanitzol mikol pega, right? That's why he has that phrase. He doesn't just say hasechel. The Chavos HaVavos, again, I don't think any even crazy people didn't have a sorted enough imagination to imagine what happens in our world. So hasechel anitzo mikol pega. Yeah, it's true that seichel can be distorted. Everything can be distorted. It's not a pircha. It's not even a kasha. Okay, but it does mean that one sort of has to understand, you know, how does that phenomenon happen, and how does a person guard against it? That's the question. One has to recognize that often seichel is not nitzal mikol pega, and. How do those pigoyim happen, and how do we look to self check and self monitor that seichel is nitzol mikol pega? I'm sorry, I meant to bring it. I forgot. So Rabbi Chanan has famously in his Ma'amorim on Agoda, I think some of them were originally printed in the back of Kovetz Ha'Oros and Yerovas, and then there's a little thin, used to be a little thin volume now. They added notes and they made it into two big thing. It used to be a little thin volume that was printed separately also. So he quotes the Maimon Chazal that the of the Yisrael Avodah Zarah el lahata arayis. And he says that the Yisod is certainly true, and again, in that Maimon Chazal, it's clearly pshat. Another Maimon Chazal of the Chanan quotes where Yesh Ladan. That we are susceptible to allowing our svara to become meshuchad by our tigris, right? So the Torah already tells us how svara can be miskalkel. That lo sikach shochad ki ashochad ya'ava enechacham mivisalef devei tzadikim, which means that the Torah is telling the dayan, you may be determined to take shochad and still be done dinamis. Right? And it's interesting that the Torah doesn't say afo pichein it's also. You could have heard that also. Afo pichein it's also. The Torah says, not that there's an inference here that in theory would have been mutter, but the Torah said, but Don't fool yourself into thinking that's possible. That's not human nature. You take shochet, so you're not going to remain objective. So that's what Bochanan says. So the Torah identifies for us one source, which is pogeya, which is makalkel svara, which is shochet. And he says, what the pshat in that maimon chazal, that will of the yisrael of the zara el lahater is that one source of shelchad is that we're meshuchad by our taivis, so then we construct a scheme, a system which justifies, you know, that which we want to be mutter, that which we want to engage in, that which we want to indulge in. So if a woman gets pregnant and she wasn't planning getting pregnant and she doesn't want to deal with pregnancy and childbirth and okay, so then you convince yourself that it's a right to privacy and you convince yourself that you know, don't look at the sonogram and don't see that's a baby, you know. Just, you know, call it a clump of cells and you convince yourself that it's, you know, it's adurab, that it's immoral for anyone to tell the woman what to do. So that's an example, what Rav Chanan says. That meshuchad, we want something, people want something to be mutter. They want something to be mutter, so then they construct, in quotation marks, svara, in quotation marks, that justifies, but the conclusion comes first. The conclusion is, and that's the shochet, the conclusion comes first. We want this to be mutter. Aye, but how can it be mutter? You know, the fact that the Rebbe Shem created the world, that you know, life begins in utero, how can, okay, it's not life. It's a woman's body. It's the right to privacy. It's all the divrei hevel that we hear. Another source of thinking something is mistaber and thinking that one's position or one's beliefs or what one's values are anchored in svara, when in fact that they can be diametrically opposed and antithetical. The Rambam has, it's a question why he has this comment in that context, but he does. He says that someone once asked him a question that the Nochash says to Chava, that if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, so v'isim keluhim yodei tova ra. And in fact, that wasn't false advertising, right? That wasn't false advertising. That in fact, hein ha'adam hoya ka'achad mimen ladas tova ra. So he said, how can it be that what's great and unique about Adam, about man, is his ability to know and discern tov and ra? How can it be that shleimus he gets from only as a result of chait? So that's the question that was posed to the Rambam. The Rambam answers it, but before he answers it, he, again, it's a question, whatever, for whatever reason, he interpolates the comment and says, you know, if you think you're going to understand Chumash, because when you take a break from partying and you open a chumash for a few minutes, you look at the chumash, And then you think you're going to understand it, you know, between parties and whatever else is part of a hedonistic lifestyle. He said, so you're not going to understand it. So after giving that that patch, then he goes on to explain the difference between Tova Ra and Emes and Sheker v'chulam. So Svara, you know, employed and applied. Okay, so partially it's on one level it's the same as what Rabbi Chanan says later. Again, it's highlighting, you know, that seichel can be distorted by taivus, but the Rambam is clearly saying something more than that. He's also talking about the danger of superficiality in thinking, and that when people are superficial, then also you come to all kinds of crazy conclusions. You see that today's, we can't really call it discourse, today's contemporary rambling and is also, you know, amazingly superficial and nonsensical. How can you not support the same-sex marriage? It's so cruel. And if there's a principle of chesed, so how can you? So chesed can never be independently defined independently of MS. I mean, if someone asks you to pass something on the table, is it a chesed to do it? Well, maybe. He's asking for the seltzer, so yeah, the odds are that is a chesed to pass him the seltzer. If he's a recovering alcoholic and he's asking you to pass him a bottle of wine or a bottle of scotch, so then it's not a chesed. So you can't define, you can't say someone wants something, so therefore it's a, by definition, a chesed. Chesed has to be, first you have to define emes, and you have to establish values, and then you can define chesed. So the Rambam Shalom says that it's horrific. It's Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach, it's Kamasi Eretz Mitzrayim, it's Maaseh Sodom, it's horrific. So it's not a chesed to facilitate someone doing something which the Rivono Shel Olam in such categorical terms absolutely rejects. It's like giving a recovering alcoholic, it's infinitely worse than that. You give the alcoholic the bottle of wine, you're destroying his body, you're destroying people's souls. It's infinitely worse than that. Again, but it's, you can excuse the crudeness of the language, it's stupidity being presented as svara. That's what a lot of one hears today is. That's also sechel anitzo mikol pega. So a person has to look, is he meshuchad? Person has to look, is he superficial? And if he doesn't know whether he's superficial, so find someone who isn't superficial and run it by him and and find out.
How do you discern who's swear to trust and who you can't trust?
That's an excellent question. The answer isn't always as comprehensive as the question, unfortunately. When you have, let's say, in a different context. How do you know who to ask a shayla to? How do you know who not to ask a shayla to? How do you know? So in an ideal world, you know, everyone paskening shaylas, everyone giving hadracha, everyone acting in a role of a manhig would be, you know, totally, totally qualified, and everything they're saying would be right. Okay, so even so, you still have to know who to ask, but at least there would be a safety net, you know? You know, even if you didn't ask the person who's, you know, who's attuned to your nefesh, okay, but yeah. But no fault of the Rosh Hashanah, fault of our implementation. You know, the world we live in is not ideal. So the only complete answer to that is, let's say in the context of asking shaylas, is that a person has to learn enough to be able to be discerning and distinguishing. I belong to the generation where the 6th and 14th mitzvah was that you bought your suits at Sims, as a Sai Sims School of Business. So their advertisement was that an educated consumer is our best customer, because what the niche that the Mr. Sai Sims created was that he used to get high quality high quality suits, but they were last year's suits. So at the end of the previous season, so every season, you know, they come out with new styles. So he would buy last year's at very, very low prices and then pass on those savings so you would get top-of-the-line suits. Okay, so they weren't this year's newest design. They were last year's design. And you got it for a fraction of the price that you would have paid the previous year. So, but to appreciate what you were paying, you know, so you had to be educated. You had to see, you had to know that... you know, look, I'm getting 100% wool suit. It's not polyester, and it's something that's going to last. So that commercial used to be an educated consumer is our best customer. So the yesod is a true yesod, that we need to be educated consumers. If a person is sufficiently uneducated, and there are people selling suits, some people are selling very cheap suits. Cheap, not in terms of price, but in terms of quality. I don't know. There isn't really a foolproof answer to how he's going to get a good suit. He needs to be an educated consumer. So we need to be checking ourselves, monitoring ourselves, whether or not we're meshuchad in what we think is mustaber. We need to be monitoring ourselves whether or not we're being superficial in employing and exercising seichel. That applies in those two concerns and factors that are basically relevant in just about every situation. The third one is not quite as broadly applicable. Sometimes, in order to exercise svara, there's a certain corpus of knowledge a person first has to have. And if you lack that corpus of knowledge, so then svara will take you in the wrong direction. Let's say the way vaccines worked when they used to use live, when it was a live whatever bacteria, whatever it was was counterintuitive. If you knew nothing about science or how the immune system functions, it was counterintuitive. But you're saving him from chickenpox by giving him chickenpox. It's crazy, right? You're saving him from this by giving them. It's crazy. But if you have, you know, basic knowledge in terms of how the immune system works, so then it's not crazy. It's compelling. So you can't. Sometimes what's mistaber is mistaber within the yesodos of a system. And when we try to, when we're amaratzim about the system, and then we look to exercise svara, so then svara will generate the exact opposite. And that's true in so many areas of halacha. If a person hasn't, again, this is an easy, specific example, but it's actually true in a more fundamental, global sense. But as we get further, we know the Nishalach, and maybe we'll talk about that. But leaving that fuller, more fundamental understanding for later, let's say, I think the Chazon Ish writes, right, maybe in his little sefer in Yoni Emunu B'Tochon. So sometimes a person who hasn't studied Hilchos Shabbos well or properly can't imagine that something would be Asur on Shabbos. Can't imagine that you know, some things which are Asur on Shabbos would be Asur. This is a malacha. How can this be a malacha? Okay, but when you understand Hagdaris about how you define a malacha and how a tolda is nisrabda from an ov, so then once you understand the yesodos, so then you have a different intuition. It becomes very different. What's intuitive, that yitachen, that it's a malacha, and what isn't, and that's another example of how we, you know, can end up with when we try to exercise svara ignorantly and arrogantly, and don't have the again, it's like paskening on again, the vaccines today don't even work that way, right? But the way the original vaccines worked, it's like paskening it without having the basic ideas in science. So all those examples of self-inflicted pigoyim on seichel. The fourth perspective, which isn't the question of, well, I don't know, a little bit of semantics, but sort of the fourth perspective on how there's so much craziness and lunacy that people convince themselves is svara. A lot of things people say and claim they believe, which, again, obviously, only the Baruch Shalom can say this absolutely and definitively, but it seems quite clear there are things people claim that they think are logical and they argue is logical, and deep down they know they're not logical. And it's not even that they're meshuchad and therefore they're seeing things the wrong way. It's not only that they're being superficial and therefore they're seeing things the wrong way. It's not only that they're amaratzim, they're seeing things the wrong way. No, they're just lying. First and foremost to themselves, and then to and then to everyone else. The people who engage in the unmitigated achzarius of tracking children to become trans, to be physically mutilated, they really think because a child did one thing when he or she was 4 years old, that's indicative of something? Again, it's wrong for 50 other reasons also. And if a kid goes over, and when he's 4 years old, and he grabs a toy from someone else, okay, kid's a ganef, so let's enroll him in a school that he should at least be a successful ganef. Should learn how to get away with it. We don't want him to end up doing hard time in San Quentin. So let's have a school for ganovim, because you see, I just saw he took that toy that didn't belong to him. So they don't really believe it. They don't really believe it. They lie to themselves, and then they lie to everyone else, and then it becomes an echo chamber. Everyone's lying to themselves, everyone's lying to everyone else. It's chazed it's tzarufe with, and other people who are thinking superficially and allow themselves to be influenced by Bel Achzorius. No one really believes that. And again, it's wrong for 50 other reasons. This isn't the only distortion and the only element of Achzorius. But there's a lot of that also. The famous Beis HaLevi in Parshas Vayigash, Lo Yochu Echo Vanalus Aso, Mitnei Nivhalu Miponov, Ki Nivhalu Miponov. So the Gemara in Chagiga, Oilanu Miyom Adin, Oilanu Miyom Atochocha. So where was the Din? Where was the Tochocha? So the Beis HaLevi explains that when Yosef said to them, Ha'od Avi Chai, so it wasn't an innocent inquiry because they hadn't been back to Eretz Yisrael since last time they were there, because he had them arrested before they got back. And the previous time he already asked them for an update. So this wasn't an innocent inquiry as to, how was Yaakov Avinu. It was rather, he was telling them that you, here you are, you're employing for mercy because of Binyamin and Nafsho Kshuva B'Nafsho. Ha'od Avi Chai, what about the what you inflicted on Yaakov Avinu when you sold me into slavery? And the Beis HaLevi says that L'Osad Lavo, if a person will plead, I didn't have enough money to give tzedakah, so the Rebbe Shalom will say, take out the ledger and say, you went here and here on this expensive vacation, or you used to waste money on this. So you had money for that, but you didn't have money for tzedakah. That will be shown. We should, do something about it. But that won't be the case. But that a person will be shown the internal inconsistency in his actions. And how people, society, go through life lying to themselves. If a parent wants to give permission for a child to get married, you can't do it at age 12, you can't do it at age 14. But they can be grooming the child for physical mutilation at that age. That parents can do. Does society really think? No, they don't really think. They don't really think. They don't really think. They lie to themselves, they lie to each other, and I don't know if that's That's the fourth perspective on things which people claim to think is mustaba and is wrong. They don't really think it's mustaba. You know, deep down, not so deep down, they really know the whole thing is shaka
v'chazak. What do these people, like, have to gain? Like if they
know it's not true, I'm not saying that they do think it's true. Just what do they have? Like why is this whole thing happening? Like what's the cause of all this? Because once you have a certain societal context, sometimes, again, I don't think there's only one answer. There's more than one answer. You know, in different cases there are different answers. But one answer certainly is that in this, when society has already reached a certain state of perversion, so you show how enlightened you are by doing it. The world is certainly happening there, that kind of, perverse incentive to keep up with the Joneses in terms of, that this is something. No, this is now being enlightened. This is, we're more enlightened than past generations. There are many permutations of that answers, other answers. Never underestimate. Here's the word. Zel Uma Zel Also Lekim. Rav Shalom created Adam, and therefore all of us, with a potential for greatness. But Zeva Uma Ze Asa Elokim. Whatever positive potential there is, so because the yesod of Adam is that he's a Baal Bechira, so there's an equal potential for negative. So if you create a world in which there can be a Reb Chaim, in which there can be a Vilna Gaon, so that means that there's also potential for such total shaker and such total perversion, because it's zelum azel asalukim, and if you're zocha to understand Reb Chaim, so then you also realize how much potential there is in the world for shaker and perversion and again, and this is just superficial. This is gore lunacy and superficial shaker. But there's potential for even more, a shaker which would run deeper.